Hello, and welcome to Flame On. You don't recognize this voice, do you? No, you don't, because I hardly ever talk, and you guys know that. This is Jared. Hi.
Hi, Jared.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, we sound so official and sophisticated. Oh, I can't stand it.
Since I have you gentlemen here, I've tasked myself with this quest, which I hope to bring you all along with me to kind of help understand the treacheries of the social constructs within every gay man's head. And I'm talking about the ideals of masculinity. And to a more base level, I'm talking more about mask for mask.
Totes mask, bro.
Be fit, educated, professional. What other tropes can I throw out?
No fats, no femmes, no Asians, no blacks.
Jocks only.
Yes.
I'm not racist, but no blacks.
White or Hispanic.
It's just a preference.
Yeah, just a preference.
You know what a preference is? Something that you yourself know, but not necessarily have to speak to the entire world about it. Otherwise, you're just saying, can't sit here. Seats taken.
Literally, in some cases.
True story.
So I love this idea. I'm very excited to see how this goes.
So this magical enchanted crown of Narcissus.
That we're going to get jewels for, right?
We're going to get jewels.
Just like when I was in Iwanas.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot. We were in Iwanas together.
We learned Bible verses and we got crown jewels in our crown. That's what we're doing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
that's exactly what we're doing.
Can we do sword drills too?
Back then, I used to be super masked. That's a lie.
Really?
Not in a kerchief.
Oh.
Not in shorts and a kerchief.
Oh, I know. We had a uniform and the kerchief. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought that up.
It sounds like a cult.
It really is.
Okay. It's like.
Has aspects of a cult.
Iwanas looks down upon the Boy Scouts because they're not stringent enough.
Christian enough, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like Donald Trump to Ted Cruz.
Okay,
so if we're going to talk about all of these tropes, are we going to talk about it?
How this is going to work out is that each of these different tropes represents a jewel that we're going to talk at length about.
Okay.
But for right now, we're going to talk about the base, the actual
the crown itself.
The crown itself that holds these sacred jewels to these narcissistic gay men.
I love your metaphors.
Yes.
Good job.
I love metaphors. Thank you.
Are you talking about butch queens?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay, butch queens.
Yes, butch queens. All right, so let's kind of delve into what defines masculinity, and we'll kind of just go around the table. So let's go with BJ first. How when somebody says they're masculine, how do you perceive that?
I usually perceive it as it's very looks driven, but I mean the gay community in general is very looks driven. So muscly, perfect body, perfect skin.
It's all photoshopped, by the way.
Yeah, all photoshopped, of course.
Hold up, back that up. Who in here has actually photoshopped a profile picture of themselves?
I have never photoshopped a profile picture of myself. However, I have used some filters.
Okay, that counts.
Okay.
But no, filters count?
Filters do not
Photoshop
count.
Is originally, like, it's the original Instagram.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, so, my God. Okay, well it's then, a series of filters.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to raise my hand right now and say, I have photoshopped a picture of myself on a profile.
But no, like, I use, like, black and white, like, or, it's like...
That counts.
Or Christmas. Really?
Oh,
yep, that
man.
Counts.
I wasn't, like, raising I'm not, cheekbones
listen,
or anything.
I'm not saying I remove blemishes, but I use filters. I use softening tools.
See.
It happens.
Right out the gate, I'm already guilty of something. I already feel guilty right out the gate.
Okay, good.
Because I use filters a lot now. Okay. I used to not, too.
All right.
But that's because
Jared?
I have a cheapo phone.
Me, I have not.
Okay.
Filtered any of
and you are our
profiles.
Resident digital artist, if
okay.
you will. I hate to use that term.
No, that's
but, you
fine.
Know,
that's fine.
You
fine.
Are the most proficient at that.
Okay.
of a group of us, of course.
Okay.
Well, seeing Jared's profile pictures are hot. Like, anytime I see them, I'm just like...
He casts a striking figure.
He does. Oh, yeah. And I'm just like, girl, what are you doing with your life? Why are you so fucked up? Jared apparently can do this. He just did it right in front of a bookcase and everything seems fine. And, like, I've got, like, natural lighting. I've got, like, the ocean behind me.
Backgrounds.
That is some bullshit.
So, okay. So, sorry. I didn't mean to derail our conversation. So mask...
Visual masculinity comes to my mind first.
Visual,
because you can be muscly and you can look muscly, but depending on how you work out, it may not be functional. So you look masculine.
So from a visual perspective, yes, you perceive masculinity to be, you know, it's all for looks, obviously. Yeah. But what about the contents of these vessels?
That's that's the rub there is because I've seen people that look like they could bench press a bus, and then the moment they open their mouths, their, you know, purse falls out.
So,
and you're like, huh.
I actually want to talk about that. Yeah, aural masculinity to me is actually more important than visual masculinity.
Yeah.
You could look like you could bench a bench press or whatever, but if you open your mouth and you have the – and again, there's a documentary I'm sure we'll mention.
Do I sound gay?
Do I sound gay? If you talk like that, I instantly think, okay, and I'm not judging, but – masculine, well, I don't know. So there is like a pitch quality. If you have a higher pitch, that is typically more feminine. If you have a lower, deeper baritone or bass type voice, that's a more masculine thing. But beyond that, to me, what is your – I kind of think of it as a typical man quotient of knowledge and experience. Do you know how to change a tire? Do you know how to – fix a not computer but a problem? Do you at least have the
problem solving skills?
Problem solving skills, so but like the willingness to try, even if
it's
you fail
skill
miserably.
Set. So it's a skill set.
No, it's not a skill set. It's the willingness to put yourself out there in a way to try to solve a problem.
It's embracing failure.
Embracing failure as a possibility.
Yeah.
That to me conveys masculinity. That you and this is by no means meant to be a the feminine that's not something they can do at all. I know women who can engineer their way or circles around men, but that typical sort of man role that you see in like the 50s and 60s where they're out there fixing the car, changing their own brakes, changing their own oil, doing all this, like that's still in my cultural and sort of, you know.
Well, it's funny you bring this up too, is that a lot of people prescribe masculinity and femininity to your sex, but that necessarily isn't the case for us sometimes. You know, there are very masculine women out there. You know, I don't have very many lesbian friends, but there are some, you know, very masculine
women. I know a couple, and they can change their oil, change their brakes. Like, they know what they're doing around equipment.
I have a list of straight female friends that are like, bench press 200 pounds. And
sure.
I'm like, can you change my tire, please? Like, I can do it, but I just don't want to.
Oh, so you're lazy.
I don't want to have to wash my hands.
I have always seen masculinity as this some like ethereal sort of idea, like more of it's a concept, but it's a concept that I hold no stock in, because, you know, when you say masculine, especially if you say it from like a minority perspective, it means, you know, taking care of, like having kids, taking care of kids. Sometimes it entails like sleeping around with as many women as possible, being like cock of the walk. And that's never really appealed to me. Mm-hmm. And so I always kind of see the inherent issues when you take the idea of like masculine. I know a girl, heterosexual girl, super fantastic, you know, looks great in a dress, long hair, short hair. She does construction. Like, she can, you know, tile floors and you know, construct drywall and do all this stuff. And, you know, her boyfriend can't do any of that at all, at all. But I don't think of her as masculine. I just think that she's, like, this badass girl.
She's handy.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, like, you know, there are ideas of, like, handiness or being, like, physically opposing that people would contribute as masculinity. But, you know, when people say that, they usually mean these are desirable traits. Mm-hmm. Like masculinity is the holy grail for men, and I don't see that at all. And when people ask me if I'm like masculine or feminine, I'm just like, I'm me. Like that's like ultimately mm-hmm. that's me. They're like, oh well, would you say, you know, this or that? Especially when you're dating. Dating is really difficult because he's like, you know, no femmes. I'm like, what makes me effeminate? Is it, you know, the way I joke around? Is it my voice? Like, I, you know, I drink whiskey. I hate romantic comedies. But I don't consider myself, you know, masculine. I don't consider myself feminine. Like, yeah. I am me. I have my traits. What you want to prescribe to them is your business. It doesn't affect me. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Yeah. Because you're right. It really is different for every person. And it's some a plus, some it's a negative. And you never know. So it's unfortunate that that's a starting point in a conversation online or in wherever. Obviously, if it's in person, there's more cues that I think guide that conversation. Yes. And you don't have to say, are you mask or femme? But online, of course, that is a big thing. Because you look at a picture and you look at a profile and you think – oh, okay, well, this could go either way. You don't know. And if, again, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Depends on what you're, I guess, you're looking for or you're naturally attractive to.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate that we kind of pigeonholed ourselves into these categories and we try to strive for them, but we end up kind of destroying the potential of ourselves trying to identify something that isn't necessarily for us. And as Oral said, you know, not everybody is super masculine or super feminine, and they're just who they are. And to an extent, I feel like I identify that way myself. I have some feminine traits and I have some masculine traits, but I don't let these things define me necessarily.
There's been a couple articles out recently talking about like there was a group talking about feminism, and then they were talking about something called toxic masculinity. And that's where it's Wikipedia defines it as it's one of the ways in which patriarchy is harmful to men. It refers to the socially constructed attitudes that describe the masculine gender role as violent, unemotional, sexually aggressive, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where you were talking about the 1950s ideal of being masculine.
Picture it, if you will, Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, or you know, for those who don't know Norman Rockwell, Ron Swanson, the whole idea that you have to be emotionally closed off to be considered a man.
Who?
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Okay. Nick Offerman.
Yeah, Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll show you later.
Okay.
But
oh wait a minute, is that the guy with the bacon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There we go.
But it's this idea that, you know, you have to do everything by yourself. Depending on people, you know, if you decide to go to the store and pick up something, your wife doesn't go with you because she should be home. You know, the idea that you have to be mean looking and stuff like that, that will affect you in a negative way if you just.
You're alpha male. You are self-sufficient. You are you don't need other people to help you
be.
Yes. Yeah.
And you see, that's what's funny is I am the oldest of this group. Mm-hmm. I'm 39, and culturally I am probably the most in the past, if you will. But I do see that as a valuable trait, not only in other people but in myself. Mm-hmm. And this is a newer thing, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't know that I would have valued that. I was a musician. I was into the arts and all that. But put into a domestic situation, it became very important to me to become self-sufficient, to be able to grow my own food, to be able to fix things in my mechanical equipment, my electronic, whatever. Like that, those skills that are assigned to this sort of masculine ideal, again, from the Norman Rockwell, whatever, those became important to me for my own personal thing. I wasn't trying to be some masculine ideal, but I saw those as things I wanted to do and be.
But can you contribute that to masculinity, or are you just striving for independence? Because though everything that you've stated so far just says to me independence.
Yeah. No. But let's look at the feminine versions of those. My partner at the time, my ex, had the, you know, knitting skills and the cooking skills.
Oh, the cooking.
The things that were a little more identified with the feminine side of the house. And those are just as important, I think, in some ways, as those traditionally, quote unquote, I do air quotes, masculine traits. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in this day and age that the gender, binary gender or whatever, like that has any bearing in what you, because, you know, I've changed over the last 10 years. I have become more the cooker, the cleaner, the mm-hmm. the nurturer kind of role. It just, yeah. It's a shifting thing.
And that's, so, you know, it's sort of what's nice about being someone who's, you know, sexual orientation isn't necessarily guided by their, I don't know, social expectations. So it's okay for you to kind of administrate in the home for whatever, and then, you know, your partner would be able to kind of deal with other issues outside of the house. So that's more of a partnership than necessarily a I am husband, you are wife, right. Contract.
Right. Yeah, the binary roles that we used to assign the 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, those are bullshit and nonsense. And they are not immutable, because you look back 200, 300, whatever years ago, those weren't necessarily the roles. You know, of course, you know, certain groups of the population think back and they think, oh, well, we've always been the male hunter-gatherer and the female you know, nurturer, home builder. But that's not the case. There are civilizations, there are eras of history where the women were the hunter-gatherers mm-hmm. and the men were the ones at home, you know, dealing with this, that, and the other domestically. So, you know, it's not immutable. And that we are now in an era where not only do we have men and women in those different roles, but, you know, gender isn't just binary anymore. Mm-hmm. And that they can be all over the different roles and have their own mix and match, whatever you think is important. That's huge and that's amazing.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest reasons I don't like defining people, besides the fact that I think androgyny is really hot, is that you get sort of this damaging mindset that, you know, everything masculine is great, everything feminine, or depending on what you prefer, is negative. And it's really what that is self-internalized homophobia. Like I've seen it a lot. I've seen a lot of people not necessarily try to go back into the closet, but try to present as this heteronormative sort of happenstance where he's just like, oh yeah, like we pay our taxes and, you know, we go out to the cinema and go to restaurants and, you know, we're just normal, you know, red-blooded American like guys, except at night where my partner fucks me in the ass. Like it. Yeah. And it baffles my mind because, like, people like that, one, I feel bad for them because they seem so trapped. Like, I think one of, you know, a friend of mine asked me, he's like, what's it like being gay? And I was like, well, I mean, you know, you have your ups and your downs, but I feel, especially being gay and out, like, I feel free to be whoever I want on any given day. I don't feel constrained by these preconceived notions of what it means to assimilate, because I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I think when people say mask for mask, they just want to assimilate. I shouldn't say they just want to assimilate. Sometimes I believe that it is an assimilation tactic to say, I am just like you, even though you're not. Like, no one's the same. Mm-hmm. And that sort of homogenized, kind of like pasteurized, milk toast sort of view of what it means to be gay or straight or, you know, butch or queenie, it just doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
From and, American Horror Story? Queenie?
Yes.
And back. Well, and but you have to also look at, you have to kind of look at our gay history too, because, you know, back in the day, people could just walk up on us in the middle of the street and just beat us with a crowbar and leave us for dead. You know, it's one of the, it's, you know, so it kind of started there with, now I need to look scary. I need to look masculine, more masculine.
I need to wield a crowbar like Gordon Freeman.
Exactly. So you have this kind of, because I see older pictures, or like, I guess it's older porn, whatever, older gay porn. And, you know, guys are like, you know, in their one
Thomas Finland.
One piece bathing suits lifting dumbbells mm-hmm. with their quote unquote best friend.
Oh.
You know, and
yeah,
it, I feel
the
like
strong man.
Exactly. And it kind of started there, and then people started, you know, some people who like couldn't be that ideal started wanting that ideal because mm-hmm. it's safer. You know, it's safer. If I have a boyfriend that can literally stomp somebody into the dirt, mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about this guy over here making me feel threatened. You know, and so now we're in a shift. We're like, you know, marriage is fair across the board. I mean, financially and federally and everything. So
until the next election.
Well, until
they repeal everything.
Until the next election when I have
if we all lose.
Mad Max it to Canada real quick.
Fury Road to Canada. Ooh.
So, and I'm a two, you know, me and Oro are two for one deals. We're gay and black, so dear mm-hmm. Lord, help us.
Look, I already know that I'm just going to become a third in a relationship.
Oh,
I'm
getting,
I'm moving to the Baltic.
The Baltic?
There you go.
I'm moving to the Baltic.
Holy crap.
But that's so now it's weird because for the longest time, nobody really questioned, like, why do I like these large men? Or why do I like this idea of, like, turbo masculinity all of a sudden? You know, it's just something that even women, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's kind of thought of, like, yeah, I really like a guy that can rip a phone book in half. You know, but now we're at that stage where women are like, no, this shit's not fair. And yeah. now people are starting to question why they like certain things, why they don't like certain things. Mm-hmm. And now we're taking masculinity and being like, why is this important?
Well, and I think there's a genetic component. I mean, I'm not going to discount the thousands, if not millions of years of race and, like, not race, genetic memory.
Always bringing it
no,
to
me. But, like, no, I was going to race memory. But, no, like, genetic, like, hunter-gatherer, male or female, doesn't matter.
Survival.
But survival skills and this playing in our lizard brains a huge role in just – what we are attracted to. And I think there is a component that absolutely is driven by that. And I think that you touch on a good point that the hypermasculine, the phone book ripping, whatever. I mean, look, there is an attraction for a lot of people, male or female, to that. And there's a lizard brain reason because we want to be protected. We want to have someone out there who will have our back in whatever way, shape, or form. So, I mean, that's not to be discounted. That's not to rule everything. Obviously, we're not yeah. lizards. We can have our own preferences and predilections, but that's a part of it, right? So,
yeah.
for whatever that means.
I don't know if I agree with the two of you. And I see your points, and I say I would concur up into a point. So, for example, we all know, or those of us who are familiar with, you know, the dark times for gays and lesbians.
You mean
mainly
every
gays.
Time?
Yeah, every time. But like the 80s, like, you mm-hmm. know, AIDS crisis, people are panicking. You want to look as healthy as possible
mm-hmm.
because if you look the part, like, you delude yourself into thinking they are the part. And that sort of kind of, I think, feeds into what we perceive. Because if you're, like, really skinny, you look frail, we don't consider those people masculine at all. We think of them as unhealthy. And, like, in our minds, we have masculinity or, you know, mask for mask as sort of coded language for healthy, virile.
Good breeding stock.
Exactly.
Successful.
Exactly. Or, you know, going a step further, white and affluent.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what, like, masculine. I read this article today, Refinery29. He's like, you know, the person, the writer of the piece was talking about how he, as a black man, has only dated white men and what that means for him as a man of color who's, you know, out in the streets, writing about equality, you know, across the board and saying, you know, like, what does that say about me that am I only attracted to, you know, this idea of what it, like, gay aesthetically, or what is gay aesthetically pleasing? And, you know, in the media, even especially gay media, mm-hmm. now we're kind of getting out of it, but you just have this idea that, you know, to be gay, you are white, you have some type of means, you are physically attractive to a large swath of the population. You see it in advertisement. You see it in ads from everywhere from like, hey, don't forget, hepatitis is an issue. Look at these straight white men who just happen to sleep with other men. Right. Like that's what you get. And so the opposite, if you only go for mask or this ideal of mask, usually entails everybody else. And it just it doesn't sit right with me. And I think to just say that, you know, there's just some part of us that's just hardwired to be predispositioned to that, I don't believe that. I think that, you know, we live in a society that we've been told prizes these set, like, ideas and concepts above everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, there have been times where I have, you know, asked people out on dates. I remember the first time I really kind of, like, put myself out there, like, as, you know, a gay man in college coming out. And he told me, you know, like, you're really awesome. I think you're great. I'm just not into black guys. Oof. And you know, that kind of hurt. And I thought, well, you know, like, what is it about me? You know, and he would go after all of these other, like, guys who were white, who kind of gave you that, like, frat boy mentality. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, that person now is nothing like the person I know today. The person I know today is very, as we would say in the streets, very woke and sees like the forest for the trees. And, you know, that person went through a lot to get to where he is now, mentally, socially. But I mean, if that's where we start off as, like, you know, fledgling gays coming out, where does that come from? Right. I think it comes from all of these preconceived notions that we're inundated with from beginning to end.
Well, yeah. Can I jump in there? Because I'll tell you right now, when I was 19, the first guy I had any kind of, like, really emotional, physical, whatever attraction to wasn't into me not at first, but after all, like, he didn't decide to date me because I wasn't old enough and masculine enough. And that was in the 90s, and we didn't have the same cultural inundation that we have now of gays as the thing. I mean, my role models, even in the mid-90s, mid to almost late 90s, was, like, you know, still Liberace and Rock Hudson, which Rock Hudson is a little more, I guess, you know, not quite Liberace. But, like, we didn't have what we have now. I mean, we had The Advocate. We had some sources of imagery that were still, like, nascent and coming out. But, like, it wasn't driven by hyper-masculine or, like you were saying, you know. And I still don't think about it in that sense. You know, like the black-white thing, I think if any part of our lizard brain is hardwired to masculinity, it should be hardwired to darker skin, because that's genetically, I think, the origin point, not what we, you know, have now. You know, like, I feel like, you know, genetically, like, that's still that – you know, I don't know. I don't see that distinction as meaningful, like, good or bad. Like, I just feel like it's just another thing. But I know I've been on that other side of the same kind of thing that you're saying, like, no blacks, whatever. I was on the, you know, you're too young. You're not a daddy. And ever since then, I've sort of been in this weird thing where I think I'm a little grayer and a little older than I actually am, at least appearance-wise, and yet that still sort of is in there as, like, a driver. So I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird how those rejection moments we have in the past sort of form our – not our personality, but sort of what we
– our expectations.
Our expectations, the things that drive us, the things that we fear rejecting us and then drive us forward.
Well, so. Oral touched on a really good point, though. He said it was the whole thing with ads. I mean, you think about advertisements, you think about, like, I'm going to assume that the listeners and everybody sitting in this room has watched at the very least, 100 hours of porn this
week.
At least.
This week?
I'm going to say we've watched a lot of pornography.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
I, you know, if
on the advice of my counsel, I like to invoke my Fifth Amendment. Okay.
Well,
so,
Eric.
So
well, so like talk about. I'm sure you're going with image, and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
If you check out the most successful porn companies and whatnot, you'll notice that it's a lot of companies that have like what's one? Frat Boy. There's the one called Frat Boy X, and it's just about a whole bunch of frat dudes.
Do they do Dude Dorm and Haze Me Bro?
Yeah. There's stuff like that.
I have heard of such things.
So, but they're, and just,
I've heard of them.
And, well, whatever. I'll let me do it. I've watched a whole bunch of them. And
they're on X2. They're on all Hamster.
They all look like the exact same person.
Yeah.
They're all muscly and toned, and they're all white, and they're all, and they, and that company probably makes millions a day.
When I was in the 90s, just to give you a contrast to that, do you know the biggest? I think Jared knows the big one back in that era, Bellamy.
Oh yes.
Little Czechoslovakian white boys.
They're still around,
and
these guys are gorgeous.
It's funny because the guys that I liked then, my tastes have shifted so much that I still like those same people now, looking the way they do now, whereas they look totally different because they're more older. Possibly muscular, but just at least older than those little chicken leg crazy little twinks back in the day.
But that's
so it's interesting to see the different
like environment plays like a huge role in shaping not only your personality but also in shaping the way you pursue attraction, the reasoning and why you find things attractive. So, I mean. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why everybody found who's that news anchor came out.
Anderson Cooper.
Oh
no,
oh, Anderson.
I think he's an awesome guy. Like I would love to sit down and like pick his brain.
But you don't find him.
But
attractive.
I don't find him attractive.
He could eat a few bit. He could eat a little bit more.
But not even because of that. Just because I'm just like.
Uh oh.
Oh no, I'm going around the room. So just like different preferences.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is something I want to get to. So. How does somebody in this era express their preferences in a way that is not insulting and is not pejorative to the rest of the dating pool? I mean, like, it's a problem because I totally understand the visceral reaction to the no mask or no femme.
Well,
no
masculine
whatever.
Only.
But, like, if they just know about themselves that – or they have limited – let's be more frank. They've limited their experience base to this one Greek ideal that is to them their thing. Mm-hmm. How or should they actually express that in something that then – that sort of narrows the filter? I mean how does that work?
I mean, Jared, I think you and I – MBJ are in – we're in the trenches. We're out in the field.
Oh, this is totally a thought experiment for me.
Yeah, like we are –
But I've been there, honey. I've been
out there. And, you know, Jared, I will say like you to me seem like the bravest out of the three of us because you are on the front line. You are avant-garde when it comes to this. So like how – I'm interested to see like your – experiences and hear about your experiences when it comes to like navigating that, because I know you brook no fools. Like,
oh, I've gone through plenty of fools.
Actually you can answer Brian's question. Just how do you approach it when somebody messages you online or walks up to you or somebody that you've known comes up to you and is like, hey, I'm really into you. And this mum's the word, but you know, how do you approach that sort of situation? Do you at least talk to the person and like, hey, thank you?
I try to be as polite as possible, but sometimes people are very persistent and I just dismiss them. I don't know what else to do. There have been times where I've not been in that position before, or I felt like, oh, I'm not that attractive. Why are you paying attention to me? But you know, I've gone through a lot of mental changes in the past year or so. So it's been an adjustment period for me.
Yeah, and just like, cause I've had people, lots of people, you know, kind of dismiss me, You know, and I don't – the trick to it is, especially with online dating, because let's be clear, 90% of people just online date or use an app or something.
On the advice of my client, I'd like to invoke his Fifth Amendment.
That
right?
you're not on J-Date. That you're not on Farmers Only.
Mouse Mingle.
It's, whoa, hold on. What?
Such a thing exists.
What?
Mouse Mingle. This is for Disney employees?
Disney fans.
Lord
have mercy.
But in Orlando,
upon my
I'm guessing
soul.
It's kind of critical mass.
I don't know. I've never
heard of this thing.
Well, now you did.
Well, now I know.
Now you do. Yes.
So, in our realm, let's be honest, there's, of course, the Grindr, Growler, Scruff, but there's also Squirt, Manhunt, Adam for Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Recon.
Yep.
Eric Wayne? He did that Renegade?
Yeah.
He's one of those. Yeah.
So whatever app you're into, there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah.
It's – I'll just say that it's one of those things where I used to take what somebody's preferences on their profile said to heart.
Oh, okay. Because
I have had
– as like a personal attack.
Well, not as a personal attack, but like I would look at their profile and I would just go, nope. I wouldn't even.
Oh well, yeah.
I would just say, you know,
swipe
what?
Swipe to the left.
Because I've had people be nice about it, and I've had people be exceptionally nasty about
and
it.
And this is what I don't get. I don't spend a lot of time in these anymore, but certainly in the past I have been on these sites. And when there is this vitriol, gay.com, let's go way back.
Ooh,
AOL Lord. And gay.com back in my
Is that like heaven. A BBS?
Kind of.
Oh, God.
A step up, basically.
See, I did gay.com and Adam for Adam before I had a smartphone. So,
well, yeah.
But remember when those prostitutes took over?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is still the case, but there were people on there who you might message and just be like, hey, how are you? Very innocuous, nothing too forward. And either you would get back nothing. Which is actually, I think, even though it's kind of rude.
Sometimes that's the best case scenario.
Sometimes it's the best. Yeah. But then you would get back sometimes, like you're saying, this
nasty.
No, not interested to this. Like they read you and you're sitting there like, why did you have to do that? Like you couldn't have just been, hey, thank you. I'm not interested. Like how much more effort does it take to type a polite response? And if you judge it by the comments that you see on social media, even to this day, let's be honest, there's a lot of assholes out there that really enjoy reading people for filth that have not earned it or that are in no way, shape, or form deserving of the reading.
You know, I'm going to talk about myself for a second. So coming up, I had to realize that just because I have something slick to say doesn't mean I should say it, because while it's like in comedy, if it's funny and it's smart and it's very on the nose, you can slide. But if you're just being rancid for rancid's sake, and I can say that at times I have just been rancid for rancid's sake, it comes across as so disgusting and so abhorrent, because in your mind, it's you know that saying, stay in your lane? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, how dare this person have the audacity to talk to me? Look at you and look at me. And it's that sort of emotional disconnect, because you just see, you know, like a screen name you know, a photo. You don't actually see the person and see like the visual cues and you don't get tone. It's like when older generations of gay men and women say, you know, you guys have really just lost the art of cruising, not like in the having just sex sort of way, but like talking to each other. You know, we don't have that like small neighborhood.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
The art of small talk. Yeah, all that.
Yeah. And so like you lose that sort of humanity, which, you know, rounding back, means you can say no blacks, no femmes,
right,
no Asians.
Mask
and you're
only.
Just like just looking for friends, no blacks, no Asians, whites or Latino only, because in their mind Latinos are white to a point.
We're gonna have a very nice we're gonna have a very nice episode on the no race profiles.
You're the desensitization of people with the internet. It's fascinating because I speak from my personal experience. I grew up in the 90s on AOL, mm-hmm. not BBS, surprisingly, even though I was in that same ballpark. And I think there were so few of us at the time, relatively to the general population, because we had no cell phones. Mm-hmm. We had no internet on the cell phones.
It was all bathroom stalls.
Or the internet equivalent, Gopher or Telnet or whatever. But it was such a small community that it reinforced the humanity of it. Because even though we only had AOL emails or wherever emails, I'm not just AOL, but we only had these limited sort of, you know, it was so small and insular that I think, and I speak for myself, but it reinforced the humanity. When it became open to everybody and their brother on the internet, I've seen two things. I've seen I talk about Facebook, but I've seen the social media responses become incredibly depressing and not that all people are like this because they're not, but a lot of people are just very desensitized and treat it like it's something not human and they're just mean spirited. But also on the chat side, on the dating side, like same kind of thing. Because I don't remember back in the AOL. I mean, okay, just for a history lesson, because some of our viewers or listeners rather, they don't know AOL. It was a chat room based thing. It wasn't a dating app. It was nothing like that. We had these chat rooms where people would sit in the chat rooms
and talk
and
to each
other. ASL checks.
Yes.
Age, sex, and location.
I remember those.
And then that would, oh, you're in Orlando? Oh, you're in by UCF? Oh, what are you? You know, and then you would devolve. You would spread out or separate out into private conversations about this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. But good God, there were so many conversations that weren't sexual. Like, I had so many damn geeky, like, random conversations with these people, total strangers. And then we would, of course, invariably swap pictures. And even if at the time they were very just, you know, just face pictures, nothing, nothing even, you know, like that was so more personal and humane.
Okay.
And it more, I think, mirrored the traditional cruising, dating in a public space kind of scene. But now with these apps, with Adam Fratton, with Manhunt, whatever, that you have a profile that you start from a place of this is who I am, a declarative statement.
You're packaged.
You're packaged. Mm-hmm. You're branded.
Ready
for consumption. You start with that. And then there's even this whole idea of like, why would you ask me about what I'm into when it says very clearly on my profile?
Well, that's another thing, too. People don't read these days.
Well, right. Yeah. But, I mean, there's this incredulity. There's this expectation of, oh, my God, how do you not know?
Instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. And then and again, it depersonalizes. And you're like you treat a brand.
Mm-hmm.
These people are brands. You treat them the way you would treat McDonald's or Wawa or Walmart or whatever. You know what I mean? There's like that. Like you said, branding, packaging.
Yep.
I think that actually plays into the dehumanization of people online. So,
and I think that's one of the things that I've tried to do as I, you know, move into a new decade of my life.
Well, that's right. You're so close.
I'm 30.
You're 30 now? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Congratulations.
He's right on the button.
He's leveled. He's completed one skill set and started a new one.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And I feel great about that. But I think about how many, you know, and just this is like across the board because, you know, it's not just a problem in like the gay community. It's a problem in every community. Mm-hmm. Where you don't see yourselves as people, you see yourselves as stats and figures. You know, how many of us have been dating for years? And, you know, you always date. But, like, there are so many people just like, I wish I could find somebody to, like, just watch Netflix with and eat Chinese food with and, like, cuddle. And, you know, you try to talk to them and they just become these, like, really obnoxious sort of people. And not to say that, like, we three or we four are, you know, not guilty of everything we're bringing to the forefront because we've all done it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're trying to be more cognizant of the way we behave, you know, online and, you know, what we expect from people and what we ourselves expect from ourselves and how interaction should be. But, you know, think about how many people we've, you know, swiped left to that may have been the perfect match for us, but we just didn't see it. Either, like, they were somewhat physically unappealing to us, or they weren't, quote-unquote, a type, or, you know, we read something in their bios that isn't really...
Immediately dismissed them.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, I know I have a really bad habit of typos. If you have typos in your bio, that means...
I'm the same way, too.
Yeah. English major filter.
Yeah. Like,
that's funny.
Or, you know, people who I text with, like, I'll use slang very sparingly, but people who always use slang, especially text slang, really drives me up the wall.
HBU.
Oh.
HBU.
Is that how about you?
How about
yes.
you?
Yes. Which means you've dropped an A.
How about you?
Oh, yeah. I've seen HMU. That's hit me
no,
up.
No,
hit
no,
me
no.
up. Yeah.
Well, that's that too. But
it's like
just
one
like,
letter different.
I can't express to viewers the
I love the facial expression.
The
oh,
facial
yeah.
expression I
yeah.
make when doing that. It was just it's a face of defeat.
No, it's all about the hands.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much, and this is where we sound like a bunch of old men, but there's so much in the younger texting culture that I sit there and I look at and I just go, really? You couldn't just put the extra vowels? I mean, it almost comes back to the whole, when remember Web 2.0 and it was like Flickr and they dropped the E. Well, now they're dropping the whole damn alphabet. It's just like three letters. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever. It's a cultural thing that we are not going to necessarily be a part of and that we have to confront in some way, especially, like you said, if you're dating and you're chatting with younger folk who traditionally are the ones doing it, you know. If you see someone in your age group and they're doing the thought and HBU, HMU.
Yes.
ASL is pretty old. But, you know, it's like whatever, you know.
I just had a thought.
Yes. Not that hoe over there.
No. Okay. So it's kind of like word association, but it's kind of like deeper than that. So I'm going to say like a like and a dislike.
Okay.
And then, like, you guys feel free to ask me why I have, like, why I think the way I do.
Okay.
Why I find that, like, appealing or not appealing.
All right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd like to think that I don't have a type. I am one of those people who the only, like, long-term relationships I've been in are with, like, tall white men. You can break that down however you want. I do sort of like the runts of the litter, which is sounds really pejorative, but it's not because I always go for the runts of the litter. Like if you look like you wouldn't survive the influenza of 1912, chances are I'm all about it. One of my sort of like negatives is that I don't mind if we're out and about or we're with friends, if, you know, we're, you know, wildly inappropriate and kind of cackle and that sort of stuff. But if we're in like a social setting, even if it's really like low key, like casual social setting, like always be on your P's and Q's. So like if I can't take someone out to dinner with like just random people that we don't necessarily know.
No, you're be aware of your surroundings.
Exactly. It really like I shut down and become a different person.
Sure.
So
I like this. I think Jared should go next.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to ask.
Are we supposed to give you? We're reacting
to his.
Oh, okay.
We're vetting his profile, basically.
So let's see. Tall, sickly white dudes.
Not necessarily white, but
so just tall, sickly dudes.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Okay. That's curious.
But androgynous.
Sometimes they're androgynous, yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes they're just, I don't want to say like gutter punk because it's not, but it's that sort of like,
I know exactly what you mean.
A Jedi in the streets, but a Sith in the sheets.
Yes, but no.
More. But looks like a Sith too.
I don't know. I want to say like a gypsy almost.
Gypsy. Ooh.
Yeah, I would kind of say
I
that.
I can see that.
Yeah. Okay.
I keep thinking Bowie-esque, but only.
No, I wouldn't say Bowie-esque.
No.
Not all the time. No.
No. Well, not all the time. No. But. I don't know what to ask.
Well, I mean, he's covered essentially body type, which is a good meat of any online profile.
Yeah.
So he's covered most of it. I will say, what about active? Like, how active do you like? Like, do you like active. Them? Do you like them like going out all the time, or do you like them to stay in?
I think it's a mix, because I can spend hours and days alone not really doing much but reading or listening to music or catching up on shows. But I do like somebody who's able to be sociable. I want to say playing it fast and loose, but not in a sort of like reckless sort of way. Mm-hmm. But let's go out and see where things take
play
us.
Play it by ear.
Yeah, so pretty.
But a balance between the two.
So that would be the one thing you probably don't even need to put in a profile, because a lot of profiles will put neither or either. Mm-hmm. So that's something that doesn't even really need to go in a profile, because you're as long as you're not going out and like bum fighting, you're.
Yeah, like.
Can we do that?
No. Oh. But like, that's the idea of a type, but, you know, I also like all, like, variations in between. So, like, mm-hmm. I like stocky guys, you know, I've dated heavier guys, tall, short. Usually they're taller than me, because I'm really short.
You're not that short.
I'm 5'7".
That's not that short.
That's average.
I would say your profile. I think I like this. I think we need to like modify this into like a game.
Uh-huh.
Your profile just seems like it's, you know, as long as you're not horrible, like, and I mean that in like.
So you're saying oral is easy.
I mean. I'm not saying, I'm saying that oral's willing.
I hear that you're saying.
See, but this is something we need to cover.
Uh-huh.
Him giving.
He's flexible.
Him giving more people a chance than, say, probably you, me, or Jared is a good thing. But the first thing out of your mouth is that, oh, so you're saying he's easy.
But no. You're misjudging. I'm not saying easy is a bad thing.
No. But it.
I do not feel that people who are. Flexible or adaptable are bad.
Versatile.
Yeah. Versatile. Like, easy is not a pejorative for me.
Was it your thing for this year?
Versatile bottom.
Right? No,
it was versatile.
Cat calls me power bottom for Christ 2016. But I've recently come up with the slogan, somewhat versatile, but still Butch Top 2015.
There you go.
Being completely facetious about the Butch.
We all know you're a big but it's okay.
You have versatility when it comes to picking people. Especially,
yeah, exactly.
Especially if it's in an online setting.
Yeah, because...
You know, which isn't common.
I say that I like my men like I like my food. I'll eat everything. It's true.
No, and no, I'm not laughing at you, because I did say you were easy earlier. You are flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good thing. I feel like that is a good thing.
What about you, Jared?
Oh. Okay, so let's go back on how am I framing this again. So
okay. So
you had research to back this all up, I thought.
No.
So give us like what you find appealing
physically.
Yeah, let's limit it. So let's do physical.
Okay.
And then give us a negative that can be also physical, or it could be like just personality wise.
Hmm.
Oh, I'll let you do both of both.
Well, since I've been attracted to people with narcissistic personality disorder for so long, it's kind of hard for me to find a type. But I'm into shorter guys. I like giving them the feeling of security by, you know, enveloping them.
You like being caregiver.
Like a caregiver, yeah. And I also like being able to, like, lock my arms around them. There have been times where I've gone out dates with, you know, bigger guys, and I'm just sort of, I can't lock my arms around you. This is not, this isn't doing it for me.
Do you think that's like, I understand what you're talking about. You, yeah, like, you like somebody, do you think that's from, like, a sort of Casablanca sort of idea of love where you hold them,
mm-hmm,
and it's not, and you have that, it's like, it's a completed feeling. Your arms go all the way around.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, yes, I like small muscular Latin guys. That's like my thing. Mainly because, you know, Latin guys have great asses, and, you know, being a top, I really like that.
I was going to ask you, have you tried dating black guys? But I already know the answer to that.
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Just for clarification,
but you've tried.
We've never dated. That's never going to happen. I don't want listeners to insinuate that I was being passive aggressive when saying that we dated and apparently it ended and I'm still bitter about it because that never happened.
No, the one thing that really turns me off about somebody is just cattiness. Like when you were talking about, you know, the people that just read you to filth and you just say hello to them.
Oh, yeah.
And just that kind of what?
I was gonna say, Pat is over here in the sound box giving Oral the side eye.
I will speak for Pat on this. Yeah, you've never dated Oral. That's okay.
No, I have not. But no, I've been in relationships with guys who are wonderful, warm, compassionate human beings, but
not Oral.
And then at the turn of a dime, they turn into these vicious, ferocious,
Howler monkeys?
Howler monkeys, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've already said, it's not like I'm saying that we are all above these things. I said I have been rancid before. Everybody knew.
Rancid. I love that term. It's like ratchet, but even more descriptive.
Rancid is just, rotten. It's another rotted.
Rotten.
Like, it's just rotted. Yeah.
Stank.
But, I mean, Jared, would you say that your proclivities, would you say that then you being, if we're using traditional terms, mm-hmm, like you're being the, like, the comforter, the, you know, the hard ER, the L in, like Spanish languages, like you're, you know, the man who comforts this sort of, oh gosh, what are the Yahweh terms?
Oh, Seme.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you're the Seme?
Seme, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and again, this is where everyone has their role to play. And in this crazy dance of life, there are different roles. And even if you defy those roles as intrinsically good or bad, they are still there. And even if you are mutable and you can change those roles, that's fine too, but the roles are still there. And we should be very aware of the fact that all of this conversation has shown that there is value in discussing it, and there's value in recognizing if you fall into it. Not to be trapped, not to limit yourself, but that those are still archetypes that we can play a part. I mean, we're all actors on a stage, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, just be aware of it. And then again, be aware that it is not the end all and be all of your personality.
To kind of touch on that, I always refer back to The Matrix, where Neo meets the Oracle, and right above her door, she has the Latin phrase, know thyself.
Oh, being, if you're not self-aware, if you're not, you're gonna, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, in all honesty, if you're like suave and good looking and kind of what everybody's looking for, are you really gonna waste the time and checking yourself out?
Like, well, I mean, here's the thing, you've brought this up a couple times, and I feel that it's unfortunate, and I'm sure not uncommon, but like those archetypes that are like, you know, unicorns, I think. Like, those should not be the norm. Like, that's the exception, but I'm sure it's a popular exception.
Oh, but they are, even in, like, doesn't even matter, it's gay or straight culture.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, I mean, I don't think women even clawed their way out of it. The whole idea that you have to be anorexically thin to be pretty, mm-hmm. you know.
Not just women, men too.
Yeah, men too. It was the 90s. The 90s, that was the thing. Everybody has to be skinny.
Yeah.
You know, and now
the 90s? How about the 2000s, the 2010s, the 2020s?
I'd say since, and I hate to mention her, like the whole idea with actually I'll mention somebody better instead. Like the whole idea of Nicki Minaj, everybody's always talking about her ass. You know, nobody's blasting her for her ass. She has an amazing ass.
Yeah.
You know, but if she had popped up back in 1999, 2000, people would be like, ew, why is she so fat and gross?
People know. I think certain cultural like tastemakers may have said that. But I don't think people have changed that much. I think the acceptance of curviness and of skinniness as preferences, as both being valid, that's not a new thing. It's just more accepted that either way.
That's a whole other jewel in the crown. Let's package this for another.
We're going to get to that other thing.
That'll be another topic.
So BJ, it's your turn.
Oh, this is going to be easy.
Oh, wait, we're doing this as a round?
Sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And yours is coming up quick because I'll pretty much date whoever that's not an asshole. So, and I ain't never had a boyfriend, so.
Ain't never.
Ain't never. Oh, I've dated two people my entire life. So, one was a really tall Irish-looking dude.
Irish-looking.
Yeah.
Super pale. You got all excited.
Really tall Irish-looking dude.
I saw it.
Personality wise, he was a ghetto white boy.
You really got a.
You were dating a wigger?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
And to be 100% honest, that was kind of fun. I'm not even going to lie.
Wait, hold on. Do we know this one?
This was in college. He does live in Palm Bay now.
Oh.
Who
lives in Palm Bay?
And then the
Apparently
other one.
Wiggers.
Was a short, stocky Italian guy. So
we know this one.
He don't listen to the show. Tony Cacuzzi.
We're using names now.
Wow, I know.
Name or mine.
We'll just beep that out.
You know.
You know Tony.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, both weren't. I mean, it wasn't really a relationship. It was like movie burger backseat for about 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Movie burger backseat.
Movie burger backseat. So wait, you had burgers?
Went to the movies.
Had a burger.
After the movies?
Yeah.
I usually eat before you go to the movies.
Backseat. Well,
okay.
So like
out of order for me.
So I will say I have casually dated two people.
Okay. And like, so we got your kind of like spectrum. What are your negatives?
What are your turnoffs?
My turnoffs are pretty much are just don't be an asshole.
Okay, so don't be catty and don't be a bitch. Okay.
Yes, apparently don't be me. I get it.
No,
I get it.
I'm giving you a hug.
No, here's my definition. Actually, I will say you can be catty. Don't be a brat. I think that's my biggest turnoff.
I'm not a brat.
No,
don't be a brat because I will say I have encountered guys both around my age and younger and a little bit older that kind of. Expect things when they expect them. Oh. Like, I'll be at work, and they will go, hey, you want to come over? I'm like, it's 12:30 on a Tuesday. What do you think I'm doing?
Right.
They're like, I'll just hang out at home. I'm like, no, I'm at work. You're always working. Yes, because
wow.
I have demanding. And that would be our third conversation, and we haven't even met.
Oh, man.
So that is my turnoff. If you want, I will call that bratty.
De brat.
I will say brattiness is unattractive to me.
Next
other than
to
that,
ungodliness.
Is that because they're requiring something from you? They see you as the sort of like provider of that? Or do you find that as like this neediness that they're not independent, self-sufficient, that sort of thing.
I will find it because I've experienced it from like college student who's skipping class for like the past week, and I've gotten it from somebody who's like a well-respected executive type person who runs the business and can make their own hours. But I will say, I think the reasoning behind it, though I find it unattractive, is that it's irrational.
Interesting.
Like
would you say hysterical?
No. Because I
tried to bait you just.
My mom is half Mexican. I know hysterical.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
I have seen hysterical. Mm-hmm. No. So that's really my only. Don't be a brat.
Don't be a brat. Mm-hmm. Don't be the brat.
Oh. Especially because when you are the brat, you hit a bitch with a bottle and you go to jail.
Oh, she is nice, I guess.
You're a brat.
What am I up for? What am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I doing? What do I like?
Totes mask, bro.
No.
Stocky white guys would be.
You know, my first boyfriend was not stocky and white. Well, actually, he's stocky, but I guess he's Italian. Is that white? That's white.
I'm going to say, Brian, this is a perfect opportunity, and that is all I'm going to say.
I mean, I like, obviously, I have a thing for curvy white men, but Latino. I have been attracted to black men. I have been attracted to white men. Like, I don't feel like it's a set in stone, like, limitation. Do you know what I mean?
So you're not hung up on race.
No, not at all.
Okay.
What about body types?
Body types, I have actually one of my first, I wouldn't call him a boyfriend, but we dated for like, you know, a hot second over at Easter holiday. He was a skinny little tiny white guy. With curly hair. I mean, I almost think that it's more the personality, what they bring to the table as far as their, personality. Like, I'm not trying to say I'm all about just there's a bad phrase for this. What is it? Mm-hmm. No, you know what I mean? Like, I'm attracted to their personality. But I mean, that's a big, huge factor.
Spoiler alert for all of you young gays out there, you will eventually have to like their personality if you want to be with them for the rest of your life.
Well, right. And that's – I was in a 14-year relationship. I mean, it comes to a point where you go, do I really like this personality or do I not really like this personality? And I
– After 14 years, you know yes or no.
Well, I changed my mind. After 14 years.
It was, and that's fine.
You know, I don't really like this personality that much. It's kind of difficult to deal with in my life. So, I mean, if that's a maturity thing, that's a realizing a preference thing, I don't know. But I think I fall under, like, BJ and Oral reverse that. Like, I am open to different, you know, types of people. I'm not so close-minded in just this one set thing, but that's
another jewel we need to talk about, open-mindedness.
Put a permanent pin in that one. We'll come back to that because there is a whole discussion there. But no, I mean it's if I had to like just look at profiles from a physicality perspective, I would certainly be more attracted to curves and beards than skin and bones. That's just a reality. I'm not saying I think they're less of a person. I just that is a physical attraction thing.
That's what you want rubbing up on you.
Yeah. So I mean that is I guess it. I don't know.
All right.
What is there like a question and answer part of this
no,
thing?
No. I think we've covered a lot of ground with this this base crown.
Of masculinity,
yes,
and all that it entails.
We've gone through a lot of material, and I'm very gracious that you all have kind of shared your perspectives on what makes you operate throughout this difficult social landscape.
What's our next jewel?
Our next
jewel. I need to prepare.
Okay.
I need to get out my crown and polish it.
I really like how I'm doing this whole like. early Nina Simone stuff as opposed to late Nina Simone, which is just like, fuck you, Whitey, fuck you.
Can we get to that at some point,
too? P.S. Zoe Saldana as Nina Simone is some bullshit. It's some old bullshit.
I was going to ask you about that.
All right. Well, so the jewels that we'll be pursuing throughout the entirety of this miniseries is fit.
Gotta help.
Oh, God. Ooh. Educated.
Well,
that's me.
I don't think that's going to be a very long episode.
Professional.
Hmm. Ooh. That means so many different
things. Well, educated and professional usually go hand in hand.
They do.
We can debate on, you know, what
yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll merge those.
What merges into what? Driven. Ambitious.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
I'm gonna laugh at that.
And open-minded.
Open-minded.
That's gonna be interesting.
No agenda.
What does that mean?
It's called bullshit lies.
I was gonna say.
I've never heard that one. That's a new one.
That means bullshit lies.
To trick your fish onto the hook. Is that right?
I'm excited for Fit because, as everyone knows here, one of my favorite sayings is because I'm fat and no man will have me.
Oh, honey.
I'm not fat.
No, you're not.
Listen.
I'm a little stocky. I went on a cruise. I ate for 7 days straight.
Oh, how was that?
It was great. I ate a lot.
Well, that's a cruise for you, right?
Yep.
Well, Jared, thank you for bringing this. This is, I honestly feel like this, I don't even know how to brand this. And how to put a title to this.
Well,
but I feel like this is huge and this is going to be really interesting for a lot of our audience.
This has actually been sort of a personal thing for me, but because I went through a lot of emotional trauma last year, and now I'm kind of emerging out of it, you know, as this brand new person.
Butterfly.
This butterfly.
That's right.
A phoenix, mind
there
you, but
go.
Eric's not here.
That sexy phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And so... taking inventory of myself and kind of the men who have gotten me up to this point in my life and understanding that I have codependency issues.
Oh, well, that's yes. An important discovery.
Yes. So
every time that comes up.
This has been very enlightening.
Well, good. No, I really do feel like our listeners. And please, if you guys are excited by this series and you have your own thoughts and ideas, we'd love to incorporate them. Flame On Show on Facebook, Flame On Podcast on Twitter, Flame On Show on every other like Tumblr,
MySpace.
No, we don't do MySpace. All of our emails at flameonshow.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear if you like this. If you really do enjoy this kind of programming, please put us up on your iTunes. Like, you can put a little comment, review us, give us a couple stars, whatever you feel like is viable. Share us with your friends. That means a lot. It actually does get the word out, and we would love more and more people to hear about us and understand what we're doing and share about their own lives, because that's always very meaningful and exciting. So please do so.
All right. And with that note,
I got chips in my mouth.